Wisdom for a trustful, truthful relationship comes from God. It comes from God. All relationships are built on trust. No trust, no relationship. And all trust is built on truth. If you don't have truth, you don't have trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. Now, folks, this goes along with any situation in your life. It's with everybody that you will come in contact with, every friend that you will believe that you have. And when that friend betrays you, that has broken trust and it has broken the truth. I found over the years that a relationship that really matters is built on that trusting. Because we, in combat again, I can't help it. That I'm having those dreams again like I had years ago, and I think it's because I'm old. Is that happening to you two back there? No, you two are, excuse me, Norm. Yeah, but we trusted each other. And we knew that we all may die in that battle, but we would all die. You were what? Yeah, thank you. See? Thanks a lot, Larry. I appreciate that. Yeah, but we would have given it. Now, why would we have done that? Because we were family. Because we were in bad situations. You want the best friend you'll ever find in your life? Get ones that'll go through the battle with you, whether it be life, whether it be any situation that's going on the battlefield. Our whole life focuses on a battle. It's as soon as we get through with one battle in a family, we got another to go. Makes you sort of, you remember when you'd get to a point in your life and you'd think, I am so glad that all of that is over with that type of worry. That's like getting a teenager up to 20 and realize they're still a teenager. And then waiting for the 20s to get out of the way. So, but you do that that thinking on, I know what I've done on trusting them, and I know how many times they've broken that trust, but what do? We still look forward to them one day doing the right thing, and then they do. That relationship comes from God, James 3:13-18. If you are wise and understand God's ways. Now think of that. If you're wise and you understand God's ways. And wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from knowledge. You'll live a life of steady goodness. So that only good deeds will pour forth. Now, and if you don't brag about the good you do, then you will be truly wise. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your hearts, don't brag about being wise. That is the worst kind of lie. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. That's being jealous of what someone else has. Being jealous from one preacher to the other. Being jealous of preachers got more in the congregation than that. Oh gosh, folks, you'd be surprised how much of that you will see. But there's no wisdom in that. Being jealous of the home someone has. Of all the demons of life, jealousy will kill faster than anything. Jealousy will harm hearts. Jealousy will destroy households. I remember the temper part, and I remember doing a message on it when people would say he has a temper. Well, and then I realized having a temper is a good thing. It's the loss of temper that's the bad thing. But when we generalize it and say, boy, does he have a temper? Well, that's a good thing, or she have a temper. That's a good thing, because to be temper is sort of like tempering metal or whatever. It hardens it, and it makes it a monolithic structure, solid. Such things are earthly, unspiritual. No jealousy in heaven. Unspiritual. And motivated by the devil. That's why you don't have it in heaven. For wherever there is jealousy, and listen what goes with it, and self-ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. What has always caused the battles within churches, what always caused battles within any kind of a group or a club, it's always someone jealous of someone else. So every kind of evil will come, and there will be disorder. Why? Because everybody's just waiting to their chance for somebody that they don't like, and then they're going to get up and nail them with something. And God says, that is not a part of me. The wisdom that comes from heaven, listen to it, is first of all pure. Meaning God loves us as a pure love. That's the purest of all loves, the agape love, or the love of God for us. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times. Peace-loving. The pastors want to focus on bringing peace, but the peace that we listen to or focus on, folks, is the peace within the heart. If the preacher brings about and preaches the truth, then I will see the truth of Christ that will go straight to the depth. And an individual, when you get peace within your heart, or no fear of dying, or the kind of peace that you know that all hell may have broken loose today and a lot of problems, but tomorrow's going to be better. Do we not understand that that's what the world is looking for? It's that kind of peace. We can yield peace and have these peace treaties with nation after nation. But folks, that's not the peace that you and I are to focus on. Jesus let us know that. He said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring war. I came to bring son against father, father against son, daughters. What was he talking about? He was talking about when you truly accept that peace within your heart that he gives. Many of our own children, many of your own family don't want anything to do with you because of your stand with Christ. That's what Jesus was talking about. He was not talking about that he hated the family unit. He was talking about that when the kind of peace that I bring you is not the kind you're thinking of. But once you get that kind of peace, then you understand this, having the peace within you and the smile that you'll get of knowing that what if everything falls apart tomorrow? I have the peace in my heart to understand something. My life is not based on what I have in this world. The truth is not based on it. And my survival is not based on it. If the government swoops down and we lose everything that we have, they cannot take the peace that I have. And every Christian needs to pay attention to that peace. It is the peace that surpasses all understanding. The world doesn't understand such peace. That's why that you and I are to teach that kind of peace. It's the focus of having peace within. Peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. That ain't easy, is it? Well, I would yield to them, but I know more than they do. So why would I yield to them? And that's an attitude that we get. Why am I going to yield to somebody that doesn't know as much as I do? Well, yep, yep. It is full of mercy and of good deeds. That's what peace does. It makes us merciful. Why? Because before I could get peace, I had to experience mercy and grace. Don't we? We experience that in our life. The sin for us is if Christ grants us that mercy and that grace in our own life, we get in trouble when we won't have the same mercy and grace with those around us. It shows no partiality and is always sincere. Think of it. No partiality. But think of this with James. This is James. This is Jesus' half-brother that's speaking here. And what he is saying is the no partiality and is always sincere. The no partiality will go this way. Because the scripture tells us that God is partial to his children. God does show partiality to us. We're the ones that go into heaven, right? That's pretty partial. And so therefore he corrects us, he chastens us, right? That partiality, though, that he's talking about focuses on, how to get to heaven. Just because I loved you and I know that you're thinking that there's another way to heaven, I cannot show partiality to you and say, I agree that perhaps maybe that's another way God has for you to enter there. So what you or I would be doing without wisdom, period, would to say, okay, I love you and I don't want to hurt your feelings that I know you're going in the wrong direction. And that's not easy to do with a family member, is it? You wanting to share Christ with a family member, you'll go right into the den of iniquity in the world and share Christ. But to share Christ with some of your closest family members, we fall short. I don't know how to do that. But when we fall short to the point to where we show partiality to the point of that individual, that there's another way, but because you think it, you're part of my inner clique here, I'll just overlook that. That does not help anyone. But those who are peacemakers plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. So anytime that you're focusing on Christ saying to be the peacemaker, and I listen to these politicians use that all the time, blessed is the peacemaker. So we need to really make peace with this other nation. And the only way we can do that is there's got to be a little give and take on both sides. Well, that's not Bible, folks. I cannot offer give or take. I didn't write it. I serve a Lord. Who do I preach? I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God's book, and if anybody has trouble with that, they need to take it up with him. I will simply dictate exactly what God says. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're not supposed to change a verse. We're not supposed to change anything. God said, here it is. I've got his dictation. Therefore, thus saith the Lord thy God. Six things wise people never do. You ready? Number one, wisdom never compromises integrity. That's what I'm talking about. The gospel is intact, integrity. The gospel is solid. I do not have a right, nor do you have a right to compromise the integrity of the Word of God. Because if we stand and we represent Christ, and the people out there hearing us know we represent Christ, and yet once again that we want to get a few more into the flock, then what we will do is, what we actually do is poison the water to bring them in. It has to be, we do not compromise integrity. You talk about a sin for a Christian. Now, does Christians commit sin? Sure, we do. It's the integrity part that focuses on who God is. And when we compromise that integrity, do we not compromise the truth of God? Does Satan trick us? Yep. Sometimes we will do it for our own self-aggrandizement. Whatever the reason, it is wrong. James 3, first part of 17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. So, wisdom of the human standpoint did not come from heaven. Wisdom, in the ways of the world. And I know many gang members are quite wise in the ways of the world. Do you not know people who are wise in their little groups that they're in? They know that kind of wisdom. But anytime you're speaking of wisdom for the Christian, it must be the wisdom from heaven. Proverbs 2, verse 7, God grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. Okay, to walk with God is to walk with integrity. Meaning every time we have a prayer time, we say, Lord, protect my child. Lord, bless this service. Bless this meal. What we're saying is, God, what you have given us is perfect and pure. And it is directly from you, so therefore it is intact. So you and I are the only ones that can mess it up. We don't do that. Bad deal. Treasure of sense to the godly, he is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. Now, just remember that. To walking with integrity is to walk with Christ. Because when people say, well, I don't think you have integrity, well, what do they know about your inner workings of your relationship with Christ? Number two, out of the six things wise people never do, wisdom doesn't antagonize someone's anger. That's almost close to stupidity. I learned that, and then I would trade correctional officers in if they're backed in the corner and they start crying. And I mean, you can see them shaking. Do not go in on them. Let them calm down. They're angry, and give them time for that to come down. Oh, no, we go in. So you had three officers whipped. You don't ever attack someone that's really crying and, you know, slobbering and all of this. That's foolishness. You don't do that. Wait, they're going to, you know, or put them in a cell and let them go back and forth from wall to wall. Pretty soon, they'll knock themselves out and everything will be fine. Okay, don't antagonize someone's anger. Here's how you do it, by comparing. Now, oh, if you were the kind of husband that so-and-so has over there, I wouldn't have to be picking up the garbage and all of this. If you were the kind of wife that that got up and fixed every meal, I can't help it if I need a midnight snack. Woman, you need to be up fixing that. Now, you all can tell that it's not a part of our household. But you compare. You compare others if you were only more like them. Do you know when that really breaks down? When the them ends up in trouble. And you've been comparing whoever it is, a man or a woman, to them. And then them falls apart. And then what do you do? Okay, wisdom doesn't antagonize someone's anger by comparing or condemning. Condemnation of people in the pain that they're in, or even in the foolishness. When you've done something really, really drastically dumb, don't you know it? I mean, okay, I cannot believe that. Well, you've said it. I had a bad case of the stupids. Right there is a momentary, yeah, you may have, but you've kept a track of that stupid stuff for years. I've heard all of those. Again, or by contradicting. Well, that's not what you said. Yes, it is. That's what I said. I said I wanted to go to White Castle. You said that you wanted to go to the review. I wanted to go to White this. We didn't do that. Anyway, that it's contradicting what someone else is saying that you said or did. James 3, second part of verse 17. Wisdom, it is also peace-loving. Now, Christian, again, we're talking about the kind of peace surpassing all understanding. It is also peace-loving. When you see an individual become born again, you love it. There's something in us. Just because you get to be there, you get to see that individual at the time when they say, I believe, then that loving part is there, and you know you'll be with them forever and ever. Oh, that's the peace we need. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Any fool can start arguments. Now, I've seen a lot of fools do it. The wise thing is to stay out of them. You hear me saying from the pulpit all the time, get away. If somebody wants to argue scripture with you, they don't want to know anything about Jesus. They're either just wanting to show you how smart they think they are in scripture, or they want to put you down because you don't know that much. That's one of the great, great sins within a church. Well, this individual just doesn't have the ability that the other individual has. Listen, folks, God is the one that gives ability. God is the one who gives wisdom. None of us in here were born with being brilliant, right? I don't remember changing my own diaper even. But you think of that. So we didn't know it all when we were born. We just thought that we did. Okay, number three. Wisdom is not inconsiderate. It is not inconsiderate. Wisdom is considerate, folks. James 3, C section of verse 17. Gentle at all times. Proverbs 15:4. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. All right. Number four. Wisdom doesn't criticize suggestions. I cannot believe it. You suggested that. You think that I don't know everything or something, that you would suggest it and you didn't? I mean, these type of things, folks, they'll destroy corporations. They'll destroy churches. They will weed their way in there where, well, if they say something, let's just remember we're going to criticize what they've said and how they said. Well, what happens? Pretty soon, you won't be hearing anything like suggestions. Because if you criticize it all the time, then they're going to quit. James 3:17d, willing to yield to others. Now, you and I, we're fine with yielding to others as long as they're right and we're not. You know, if we think they're right, we'll yield to them. Who in the world do we think we are that someone else cannot walk as close to Christ as you do or I do? Again, you all remember this from over the years, that the greatest criticism I get from the broadcast is from people who cannot believe that I made a statement those in the congregation walk just as close to Christ as the pastors do. And that was almost like blasphemy. Actually, they would see it that way, but it's the truth. There's no difference in our relationship. God did not set a hierarchy of a man or a woman in his earthly church. Jesus remained. Now, if Jesus were dead, maybe you could work that out. But Jesus is still alive. So therefore, always accept those suggestions. Be ready and willing to yield to it. If you yield on a suggestion and then it don't work, okay, don't go back and criticize it again. Don't do that. They say, well, let's try another way. My way probably wouldn't have either. Always, as the one that is going to express the love and the understanding, take the hit for someone. Don't be ready and willing to blame all the mistakes on the people who really made them. That doesn't help. If you're a leader, if you're a pastor, if you're a leader of any kind of an organization, and when something goes down bad, why do we say, well, it was one of my underlings who made that mistake? Doesn't that make you sick? You know, and you see it in politics all the time. But you see it also in church politics, big time. So what we do, always take the suggestion, Proverbs 18:15, intelligent people are always open to new ideas. In fact, They look for them. That's those folks in the corporate world. Now, most of the corporate leaders could care less about anybody else but themselves, but they also are always open to the new ideas. Number five, wisdom doesn't emphasize the mistakes of others. Okay, remember that last Sunday I told you about the wife got historical on him? And said, "Don't you mean hysterical?" She said, "No, historical." She told me everything I'd ever done. So, and that's what happens there. Wisdom doesn't emphasize the mistakes of others. James 3:17e, boy, I tore that verse all to pieces, didn't I? Is full of mercy and good deeds. That's what wisdom is. The wisdom wants to help others. The wisdom wants to help correct others and wants to catch others when they fall and wants to be able to sort of nurture them so they can get back up, just like any good parent should. Proverbs 17:9, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. Let me tell you, whining and nagging to me are so powerful. And let me be blunt with you, girls. Men are the worst whiners, and men are the worst of them all that, they cry and whine, and then they are nagging. Men will nag worse than women. That's a fact. Right, ladies? Number six, wisdom doesn't disguise intentions. Oh gosh, and you all have had this happen to you. I know I have as a pastor, to where someone is trying to trick you into saying something, where someone is trying to disguise evil for good. And, you know, and they put their arm around you and all the time, and then all of a sudden you walk in the room and there it is, everything to destroy you. But the intentions were shared with you as being good, but it was an enticement to get you to open the door, and the truth comes out. Wisdom doesn't do that. Here's the reason. The Christian does not fight their own battle. It is God our Father who has told us, "You let me handle it. For those who dig a pit will fall into their own trap. You let me handle it. I will pay back what is just." But if you, Christian, this is still the Lord telling us, if you, Christian, attempt to be vengeful on your own, God said, "I will withdraw my hand." Now, you don't ever want that. You don't ever want God to withdraw his hand. So therefore, when you're pulled into a mess and their intention was disguised as being good, and you get there, do you know what we're supposed to do? Pray for them. James 3:17f, you all are going to have to get that verse all together, aren't you? Shows no partiality and is always sincere. That's what wisdom is. Doesn't mean that you, okay, if you've got your family there, you've got your son, you've got your grandchildren, and you've got two chicken legs, and a preacher comes over, but the grandkids want them. Guess who gets them? The grandkids. The preacher tries to get them, but he don't get them. But now, what I want to get a point across on that one is that wisdom deals directly with love, and wisdom deals with good intentions, not bad ones. Proverbs 10, verse 18, "The lips of a liar conceal hostility, and whoever spreads accusations is a fool." You know why? What you've accused someone of will come back on your own head. It will come back on your own head. If you try to set someone up, to just get some type of good feeling because they're the arch rival or your enemy that you see them, and you try to set them up for something, it will come back home in a heartbeat. But that's not what we ought to be about. We ought not be about trying to hurt one another. We're to be about loving one another. And when all the other garbage comes into play, like that we deal with in everyday living, folks, that garbage is not of God. And we have to watch ourselves and make sure that we don't, what did Paul say? But don't eat and devour one another. Again, when you're listening to the scripture, remember, even the book of Revelation is to the church. Everybody keeps saying, oh, no, he's talking to the world. None of the scripture that we have, that what we call the New Testament, focuses on the church, the body of believers. And for us to reach out to the world, the world's not going to read it. The world doesn't care what the Bible says. You and I do. So therefore, he's talking to us. So all the garbage you see that goes down in the Bible goes down in the church. Or we would not have all those sermons in the scripture to the church. To again include the book of Revelation. Seven churches of Asia Minor. Remember? Colossians 2 verse 3. Jesus is the key that opens all the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. You're not going to get in the presence of God without the key. Now, you and I have an obligation to the truth. We have a ministry to give the truth. And folks, the fact is, Jesus is the key to eternal life. And there is no other.